Welcome back to the podcast, my sisters. It's the Feminist Wellbeing Podcast. It's Beyond the Food, and I'm your host, Stephanie Dodier, non-diet nutritionist, certified intuitive eating counselor, and cognitive behavior coach, and founder of the non-diet coaching certification. And I'm here to guide you on how to feel damn good in your body without shrinking the size of your pants, but instead by reshaping your mind. Today's episode is about this concept of feminist well-being. I'm going to get into why we put a break on the podcast for 4 months, and it's linked to the feminist well-being concept. And then I am going to explain to you version 1.0, because you're probably seeing in the title of the podcast 1.0. I'm going to explain to you why, of what it means to me, feminist well-being, and how I want you to collaborate with me on this concept. You ready? Let's do this. So before I get into the feminist well-being, I am going to reintroduce myself. How about if we do that? Because there's going to be a lot of new listeners, and I think it helps put me and my message into perspective. And I'm going to start with saying I have a PhD in diet culture. I came up with this about a year ago when I was doing a public talk at a university, and I had a whole bunch of PhD people in front of me, and I thought I'll make them laugh by introducing myself as a PhD in diet culture, and it worked wonderfully. And I've been sticking with that line since then. So I claim to have a PhD in diet culture because I dieted for 25 years. From the age of 12 to the age of 39 years old, I dieted. And I worked my way out of it, went back to school, got a degree in nutrition, and I went right into 3 years of clinical traditional practice in nutrition. And then after 3 years, I'll tell you why in a bit, I made a shift and opened a new business called Going Beyond the Food, which is where this podcast was born almost 8 years ago from launching this new business. Personally, in order for me to work myself out of diet culture, I did intuitive eating, and I felt with intuitive eating a lot better about myself, about my body. And intuitive eating, alongside with other things I was doing in my own journey, is what created Beyond the Food. And that's why I couldn't practice in a traditional model of nutrition. So I closed the clinic and I went online. And I kept feeling better and better. But at some point in my own happiness and being, I plateaued. And my health from a blood marker perspective was good. Life was good, but I wasn't great. And I have to acknowledge here that I took the next step of hiring someone to help me with my mindset. I was in therapy for years, and that got me to feel good, but it wasn't making me feel great. I didn't feel like my life was the best version of what it could be. So I hired a mindset coach 6 years ago. And that's where I acknowledge the privilege of my financial well-being, because I was able to create a revenue in my business that allowed me that capacity to invest in private care in order for me to hire this mindset coach with whom I work for nearly 3 years. And she changed my life. Her name is Carol Lowenthal. I've talked about her many, many times. She's been on the podcast before, but she put the bow on my healing and recovery from diet culture by teaching me intersectional lens to healing from diet culture. She introduced me to feminism in a way that I had never experienced before. She made me look at why I had dieted for 25 years beyond my own little world. She tied the knot together with systemic issue and where diet culture came from and why women diet and what's the link between diet culture and patriarchy. And the biggest piece that changed my life is she introduced me to this empowerment concept that I had the option to change my thoughts and my belief. I didn't have to ask permission to anyone. I could decide not only what I ate, how I dressed my body, how I took care of my body, but she went that next step. I could choose the thought that I think. And that opened up for me that space from feeling good to feeling great. Because what I realized is the reason why I wasn't feeling great is because I still felt not good enough. I felt unworthy, not just because of my body image, but because of many other thoughts I had in my brain. And she taught me a tool, a process to change those thoughts and those beliefs. And that is how I moved from feeling good to feeling great. Now, with any privilege come responsibility. So as I uncovered that there was another layer beyond the food, I was already practicing online. I was already coaching and teaching going beyond the food. But beyond the food at the beginning was not including mental well-being. And I integrated it into the going to beyond the food method. That's where I couldn't not integrate it because I knew what he had done for me and how it had moved me from good to great. So I changed, updated, refreshed the going to beyond the food method to include thought work, to include feminism, intersectional lens, systemic issue. And it transformed the result my clients were getting. I saw the same transfer of power that I had in my own life into every single women client that I work with. And I have to declare, if you're new to the podcast, I work exclusively with self-identified women. My methodology is built specifically for women who have been socialized, have been raised, and have been living as women in this world. Because there's a unique approach. There's a unique set of reason why women need to go beyond the food. And that has to do with patriarchy and diet culture and how we're socialized as women. Over the last few years, I have been personally not feeling comfortable, struggling with the word health. Now, I've been teaching how to approach health coaching in a weight neutral lens to professionals and health coaches through the non-diet coaching certification for the last, call it 3.5 years. And I've been teaching and I've been very clear in that when people leave the non-diet coaching certification, they're not there to replace physicians and doctors. They're there to support their client through the relationship with their medical team, like how to help them with mental health and emotional well-being while the very well-trained medical team helps them with their health. So how to approach demand confidently, go to your medical team and ask for a weight neutral approach to health. That's been how I've been teaching in a non-diet coaching certification, and all our certified coach leave the certified process with. But the more I'm teaching about health and I'm teaching the same curriculum for 3.5 years, I became more and more resistant to the narrow view on health. So let me give you some background. This is going to be a bit of a teaching episode as well as a concept that I'm putting out there. But well-being and health is not the same thing. The most agreed upon definition of health that we have in our society today is the one by the World Health Organization. And it goes as follows. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease and infirmity. Now, to me, over the last 2 years, that became a problematic definition for two reasons. Number one, it doesn't acknowledge the social determinant of health, which very briefly, where we know that health is more than just physical and mental well-being. But we also know that there's a role into financial well-being. There's a role of your race, your gender identification, your sexual orientation, your class that you're born into, your education. All of that leads to health outcome. And that definition does not comprehend that. Plus, because my lens through which I approach health is coaching women. We coach behavior, right? The cognitive behavior approach to the non-diet framework. And when we think of health in that notion, it's a complete state of well-being. So it leads people to think that they have to be perfectly healthy all the time, which is where healthism is born from, right? This obsession with health and attaching our health status with our moral value. So it leads to perfectionism, and perfectionism as a slew of consequence in itself. So I kind of left gradually over the last 2 years, this definition aside, and I've been talking a lot about health instead as a state. It's a process, it's a system in human being health that allows the individual to cope, that allows us to cope with our environment, the demand of daily life. It's a biological, complex interconnection of system within us that allows us to cope with our environment. It's a system of adaptation. By leaving the word perfection out, by leaving state of perfect health out, it allows people to engage with their health, but then it doesn't comprehend or doesn't address the well-being. Because in my view, and what I have seen with the thousands of women I've worked with, is that I've seen women be in perfect state of health, yet they will say to you, I'm unhappy. I don't like my life. So the state of health of an individual doesn't automatically mean happiness. And why are we on this planet for, right? Are we on this planet to achieve a perfect health status, to achieve a perfect body, to achieve a perfect look? Now, that's what society wants us to believe, that that's our mission on this planet. But it's not, because when we try to go down this path, which I've been down this path for 25 years, it doesn't create happiness. It doesn't create well-being. It doesn't create a, yes, I'm living my best life just because we have a perfect state of health. In fact, last year, that's another contributing factor to why I'm having this conversation and creating this concept of feminist well-being. I was in the mastermind for my work, and we were working on defining the role of our business within the context of our life. And I came up with this definition of prosperity for me. Like, what does the role of my business in my life, because my business, my career, my work is just one of the many components of my life. And the role of my business is to bring prosperity in my life. And here's how I define prosperity for me, and you are more than welcome to borrow it. Prosperity for me is determined by three things. Number one, happiness. My business has to contribute to my overall happiness in my life. And I'm very privileged. As you probably can imagine, I do work. I have a job that gives me good money and that I love doing. And there's millions of you listening to this who are not in that space. And I want to acknowledge the privilege that I have to do something that I love and that brings me happiness. The second component of prosperity for me is, how do I contribute to the world? How do I contribute and provide human value into the world? For me, it's right here, this podcast. This podcast is my contribution to the world. It's accessible to nearly everyone in the world with today's technology. Anyone can listen to it. There's a 7.5 years, 385 episode of free teaching and content. And I hear from many of you all the time about how simply listening to the podcast, because financially you weren't able to buy programs, buy coaching from me, listening to the podcast changed your life. And please, if that's you and you haven't reached out to me yet, please drop me a DM, send us an email at info@stephaniedozier.com. I would love to share your story. And for me, your feedback, your story of how my podcast, my contribution into the world has impacted your life, that's my paycheck. That brings to me more happiness and leads me to feeling great in my life. And the third component of prosperity for me is wealth. Because we live in a capitalist society, we have to acknowledge that it's a fact. And in order for me to live the life that I want, I need money. Now, wealth for me doesn't mean, I like to say, like throwing money off the boat, like having $1 million in a bank account. Wealth for me at this point in my life is defined by being able to access the life experience that I want. And right now, at 49 years old, the life experience that I want is discovering the world, discovering different culture, and being able to travel, have the finances to be able to travel. And I check the box on this. I'm able, through the structure of my work and the amount of money my business brings in, to be able to travel the world in a way that I want to. So that's, for me, prosperity. And that is not defined by health. Because I'm healthy to most standard. I don't have perfect health, but I'm healthy. And I've been healthy for, again, privilege of my genetic for the last 8 years since I left diet culture. I used to struggle with my health. And when I stopped dieting, when I began intuitive eating and all the things that I've done, my health got better and better. I'm a living proof that the weight on your body, the layer of fat, does not determine your health. Because I put on weight and I, healthier wise, from the standard of modern medicine, I'm healthier than I've ever been. So that's not what a podcast is about. But all of that has been brewing in my head. Like my definition of wealth and definition of health and the resistance I felt and what I was living in my own life, the well-being and the happiness I felt in my life, and asking myself, why? Why do I feel the way that I feel right now in my life? And that needed 4 months to collect my thoughts. I knew it had to do with well-being, and I knew it had to do with a version of well-being or an approach to well-being for women in today's society. And that's what you're listening to, the Feminist Wellbeing Podcast. We're going to explore, I don't know, for the next hundreds of episodes, well-being for women, because I want to explore what creates well-being for all the different women in this world, so you can have a vision beyond health that I believe will bring you more happiness and living your best life. So let's define well-being versus health. Like, we talked about health, but what the heck is well-being? So the first thing I want to acknowledge is there's no agreed upon definition of well-being. It's a field of research that's very recent. And there's an article that was published in 2021 by Gemma Simmons. She's a researcher for the Center for Workforce Wellbeing from the University of Southampton. And her and her team have worked towards putting together a definition of well-being in the context of medical care, because it's a recognized concept that is began to emerge now in medicine, that health is not the end all and be all. There's more to it, but we can't explain it, we being the medical world. So that's what her team was doing. And here's the proposed definition of well-being. Well-being is a state of positive feelings and meeting the full potential in the world. In other words, well-being is more than the absence of pathology and disease. Well-being includes health, but not limited to it. And that's very important when you think about diversity, when you think about discrimination, genetic pool. Like, there is people out there that are never going to be able to access health or good health, yet they can be in a state of well-being. Well-being is, again, not just the absence of disease. It's a complex system of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. The fourth one, right, the spiritual well-being, that's Stephanie's add-on to this. So for me, well-being is the definition of Gemma's group plus spiritual well-being. And I'm going to do some episode deep diving in that coming shortly. But for me, we have four bodies: mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And well-being is how we can achieve that state of happiness, that state of positive feeling, and having a sense that we are exploring our full potential in the world. And well-being is strongly connected to our capacity to access the element of well-being, meaning that our social, economic status, our race, our class, our education, our ability prevents us or make it harder for us to access the element that makes us feeling well and great. And we need to talk about this. And this is where the lands of feminism come into play with well-being. And my particular outlook will be for women, people socialized as women. How do we think? How do we approach? What's the problematic around well-being for women? How can we facilitate access to well-being to all women, right? Through interviews, I want to explore what is currently preventing access to well-being to all women. I want to have the conversation about systemic issue, social justice. What is impacting women in their pursuit of well-being? How do we help women? How do we educate women around well-being? And how do we help them access more of it? And there's two things, me, for women specifically, that affects us: patriarchy and diet culture. As women, when we are socialized as women, we're socialized into diet culture. Now, this is changing for the less than 20 years old generation. More and more younger women or girls are not socialized to diet culture, but this podcast is not designed for them. It's designed for you, their mom, their aunt. And how can we influence that next generation of women? But we have been socialized to diet culture, and it impacts our mental health. It causes women to ruminate, to overthink, to be self-critical, to give a great proportion of their mental space to thoughts created by diet culture and patriarchy socialization. It impacts our emotional well-being by creating shame and having to output emotions, emotional work to undo the shame of our body and our looks. It's the constant worries about, are we doing this right? Are we eating right? Am I working out right? The constant hypervigilant sensation in our body that is caused by diet culture and patriarchy. I want to talk quickly about spiritual load. In this case, what diet culture and patriarchy does is it rubs us from the time, because we're so consumed mentally and emotionally and physically with achieving health and achieving a certain look that we do not have time or mental space to think about our spiritual belief, let alone the practice of what you believe in. And then our physical load of diet culture and patriarchy, I mean, we know through science, this is the only aspect of the impact of diet culture that we have measured, which is physical health. Funny enough, yet we still ditch out diet culture out there. We know that dieting is linked to increased inflammation, to higher level of cortisol, to negative change in blood pressure, an increased heart rate, higher blood sugar, yet we still prescribing dieting as a medical solution. There's so many episodes in the feed on that. I'm not going to explore it, but there's probably over 50 episodes in the last 7.5 years on the negative impact of dieting. So if you're new, tons of content on the podcast feed here. What is my personal belief on feminism? Feminism for me is about giving a choice to women. It's about freedom. It's about liberation. And thankfully, because of the impact of women before me, it's no longer just about equality. Because the few generations before me have worked extremely hard in providing equality for women. And I think now the conversation needs to go beyond equality. And it's not about being in power like patriarchy prescribe power in today's world. I do not want a patriarchal society turned matriarchal where women are in power and men are oppressed. That's not my view on feminism. And I'm going to quote you one of the person that I have read and studied from in my view of what is now my view of feminism. And her name is Germaine Greer. And I know I'm mispronouncing her name because of my French accent. So Germaine Greer, G-R-E-R, if you want to look her up. And she said this, I have never been an equality feminist. I don't think that the present condition of men in patriarchy is anything to aspire to. And I fully believe that. So for me, feminism is not about the oppression of men and women putting in power. It's about rethinking how we structure society, how we structure our system, how we structure our politics, our medical care, in order for us to have a collaborative society in which everyone, independent of their gender, their race, their ability, their class, their social economical status, can access well-being and can thrive. That's my view of it. So that's the view I'm going to bring in to feminist well-being. And my 1.0 version of how I'm going to approach feminist well-being that I'm proposing that collectively, as a listener of this podcast, we think about what is well-being for women in today's society. The first layer is embodiment and it's self-awareness at the individual level. We cannot impact the collective without first embodying and being aware at the individual level. My work in going beyond the food was never meant to be activism. My role in this world is not to go out there and negotiate new policies. For example, in government structure, there's amazing people that know how to do that very well. My zone of genius is at the individual level, is how to use our brain, how to use our mind, how to use our nervous system to feel better. And when we feel better, when we are in a state of well-being at the individual level, we have more space, mental space, emotional space, physical space to go out there and support activism and change the biases into the world and impact other women. I always give this example to clients because I work with a lot of women that have experienced motherhood, and they very often will invest in themselves to work with me because they want to change how their daughter is going to be raised. And then the first level of conversation I have with them is the work needs to happen at your level first, in your own mind, in your own body, in your own relationship to food and to body and to health before you can impact your daughter. Your daughter will learn from your behavior, how you treat yourself. So the first year of work is with you and you alone. And then naturally, you will be able to impact your daughters or your daughter. That's how I want to see feminist well-being in the work we're going to do collectively, because to me, it's a movement. Feminist well-being, and that's why I say 1.0 version, it's a collective think tank right now of action we can take to impact our collective well-being. And if you want to think what's the next step for us, so if you're listening to this podcast and say, okay, what's the next step for me? Understand patriarchy, right? I have courses, I have workshop and masterclasses on my website. I have articles that are free on my website and podcast episode. Understand what patriarchy, it's not men, how it's tied into diet culture, and answer the question, why do I have a body? This is your takeaway for today. Why do I have a body as a woman? Do I have a body to look good to my partner? Do I have a body to be, quote unquote, an arm candy? Do I have a body to be ultimately healthy? Why do I have a body? Here's my personal definition of why I have a body, just to guide you into what it could be. Not what it has to be, but what it could be for you. I have a body as a woman to live my life, to experience the human experience. That's why I have a body. Now, it was not always like this. For 25 years, I had a body to please other people and through my personal work. Now, I firmly believe that I have a body to experience my life. The power in redefining your belief system as to why you have a body is what will enable you to access well-being. Because the power that diet culture and patriarchy have on women currently is socializing us to think that we have a body to please other people, and that sustain multi-billion dollar industry in a capitalist structure. And it keeps you taking your mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being to think that you are a physical body. So even when you think about well-being, most people will think about physical health because they think, women think they're a physical body. But when you start expanding your definition of body, why you have a body, what is health, who am I into this world, then you can start seeing beyond the physical body. So for me, the most important question or belief system we need to overall in order to access well-being as women is why we have a body. The very act of acknowledging that we are more than a physical body, to me, is a feminist act that will revolutionize the state of being a woman in years to come. Seeing beyond our physical body is extremely powerful. So, this podcast It's Beyond the Food, the Feminist Wellbeing Podcast, moving forward, will give you resources to better your well-being, to fight patriarchy and diet culture for you and for our collective, and to liberate the next generation of women while acknowledging systemic oppression. So we're going to have difficult, deep, vulnerable conversation that are necessary for all of us to deepen our understanding of what's preventing us collectively from accessing well-being. To me, feminist well-being is a movement. As I mentioned before, it's version 1.0, and it's for everyone. It's for women, and it's for people of any gender that are welcome to the conversation in supporting this movement. Here's a couple things you can do to support this movement, because it's a collective effort. The number one most accessible thing is today, right now, rate and review the podcast. Leave a review if you can. If you have an ability with words, leave a review right now. Like, swipe up and leave a review. Rate the podcast. Subscribe to the show. That's going to help us tremendously, because with more rating and review and subscription, we are exposed. We tell iTunes or Spotify that this show is amazing. And by the nature of AI, it will propose the show to more women. So by you rating, reviewing, subscribing, you are feeding the information to share this show with more people. Talk about us. The second thing you can do that's completely free is support us through social media. Share on your social media stories, feed, TikTok, that you're listening to the show and what you're taking away from the show. And the third thing is show up. Show up, but not just show up just to listen. Show up to actually do the work. Especially the harder topics and sensitive topic. It doesn't require you to go out into the world and be an activist and burn your bra. Do the internal work. And if you need help with that internal work and you have the financial capacity, by all means, we are here to support you to do this work as a team. We have programs at every financial level to help you do this work. Take action at the individual level, and if possible, take action at the collective level. Start thinking critically. I would say that's the fourth thing you can do. Start thinking critically. Really sit down and think about what's patriarchy, what's diet culture in my life, how does it show up, how discrimination shows up in my life, how is systemic issue impact me and people in my life. So this is version 1.0 of feminist well-being. I'm going to take you on this journey with me. I am excited. I'm re-energized. I'm going to say it again. I'm excited. I am thrilled. And I'm honored that you are here with me, taking this journey with me of feminist well-being. I am thankful of your support over the last 7.5 years of this podcast and the years that we have in front of us. My goal is to hit 10 years with this podcast. And I can't wait to see you, to hear you, to be in your earbuds for the next episode and the next interview and the next critical thinking moment we're going to have together. Thank you for being here. And I can't wait to explore feminist well-being with you. Hey, my sisters, if you are loving what you are learning on the podcast, you have to come and check out our feminist mentorship masterclasses and our internationally recognized non-diet coaching certification on our website at www.stephaniedoze.com/shop. This is where you can get the individual coaching and the support to take the concept thought on the podcast to the next level, embrace our well-being in a way that will expand our collective freedom and power. Come and join myself and other women to learn how to reshape your mind, not your body. I'll see you there.